You may be seated for our lesson this evening. Our lesson this evening comes from St. Matthew, the first chapter, the first verse through the 17th. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac, and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nashon, and Nashon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of David the king. David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam, and Rehoboam the father of Abijah, and Abijah the father of Asaph, and Asaph the father of Jehoshaphat, and Jehoshaphat the father of Joram, and Joram the father of Uzziah, and Uzziah the father of Jotham, and Jotham the father of Ahaz, and Ahaz the father of Hezekiah. And Hezekiah the father of Manasseh, and Manasseh the father of Amos, and Amos the father of Josiah, and Josiah the father of Jeconiah and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, Jeconiah was the father of Shealtiel, and Shealtiel the father of Zerubbabel, and Zerubbabel the father of Abud, and Abiud the father of Eliakim, and Eliakim the father of Azor, and Azor the father of Zadok, Zadok the father of Achim, and Achim the father of Ahud, and Ahud the father of Eleazar, and Eleazar the father of Matthan, and Matthan the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David were 14, and from David to the deportation to Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the Christ, 14 generations. That was a mouthful. Aren't you glad you weren't reading that? Tonight we're continuing our series on family life. I like to get to know someone, I ask certain questions. Alicia knows this pretty well. One of the questions that I like to people is, what is one of their favorite books, or what kind of book are they currently reading? You get a good indication from someone by that, and there are a variety of different answers. If I were to ask that question tonight, what book are you reading? Anyone want to throw out one that you're reading, or a kind of novel? History? Anybody like history? Oh, dark side, Stephen King over here. History, science, nonfiction, all different kinds of books. But there is one type of book that no one has ever brought up in my question to them. That is a phone book. No one has ever said that they are reading a phone book for a couple of reasons. One, who reads a phone book today? They've obsolete over the last 10 years. But secondly, aren't phone books really boring? They're nothing more than a list, a phone book. Well, I apologize for tonight's reading. Tonight's reading kind of reads like a phone book, doesn't it? Kind of reads like a long list. Why are we doing that? One of the things they told me in seminary is never preach on lists. You're going to bore everyone to death. A boring sermon is coming. I don't think it's too boring. Don't worry. That also lists, they just lull us into silence. I don't know what it is. Well, for that reason, this reading that I just read here tonight is not found in any of the readings throughout the church here in 3-year cycle. In fact, what I just read, I would bet it's never been read in this sanctuary ever for worship, what I just read. Doesn't appear in any of the readings. But what I'd like to suggest tonight is that from this list, we have a great teaching of how family life should operate. How is that possible? Well, here's the clear teaching. Lower your expectations. Lower your expectations. Where does that come from? And I'm not saying all of us have the cutest kids and grandkids. We all have wonderful wives and spouses, and our teenagers are the smartest and the most musical and the most athletic, all those good things. It's good to have high expectations. But what I'm saying is this. When we set really high expectations for our loved ones and our family members, and they don't live up to them, it crushes us, and we get angry inside. And we say such things as this in our families. We say things like, you know what? The way you embarrassed me in front of my colleagues and my workers, you're no longer my son. Or sometimes we say something, I've heard it in families like this. You know what? Follow my example perfectly. I do it so well. Why can't you do it just the way I do it? Or even, regrettably, sometimes these words are said. With the high expectations, you know, you're just not the person that I first married when we met. Matthew doesn't go in a long exhortation detailing that we should have lower our expectations. Matthew just simply puts a list together. Here's the list. Tamar. Any of you know the story of Tamar? Genesis chapter 38. Here's the story. Tamar's on the list. Judah plays matchmaker with Tamar. In other words, he found this gal, Tamar, and thought that she would be an excellent person for his firstborn son, Er. When Er died, Judah plays matchmaker again. He connects Tamar with the next of kin, Onan. And then when Onan dies, Tamar has to wait 20 years before she can marry the third son in Judah's family. But this is where the story gets a little soap opera-ish, so to speak. The Bible says that Tamar dresses herself up like a woman of the night. Now, whenever you see that word in the Hebrew, Layla, that's kind of a word for prostitution, propositioning oneself. She dresses herself up and propositions herself. Her father-in-law does not recognize her. He offers her a goat, and she becomes pregnant from her father-in-law. The two separate and go their own ways. Tamar is a relative of Jesus Christ, and she's on the list. Gets worse, my friends. It's embarrassing, isn't it? Next one is Rahab. You know, Rahab is also described, you can look it up in Joshua 2, the word Layla appears again. Rahab is dressed as a woman of the night, except she's even worse than Tamar because, you see, she's a Canaanite. Remember the children's little song, I don't want to be a Canaanite? They raise Cain at night. The Canaanites were wicked people because their God did despicable things. Hold on, it gets worse. Ruth is mentioned. If you're taking notes, everyone in our congregation that's named Ruth, they're sweeter than apple pie. I will say that. But Ruth is a Moabite. I don't know if you know what Moabites were. Moabites were people that practiced child sacrifice as a part of their religion. Despicable what they did. And it even gets worse than that. There's Bathsheba. I don't know if you caught the names. It's hard to with the list. Matthew can't even write down Bathsheba's name in the list. He says this. I don't know if you caught it. Uriah the Hittite's wife. Couldn't even name her name. Why? Because she had the relationship with David. As she was bathing, David was looking out. One thing led to another, and she becomes pregnant, and her husband Uriah is put on the front line, and then he is put to death. Now, I know what you're saying here tonight. Pastor, you're being really tough on the women on this list. The men are bad. The men are just as bad as well. Think about a couple of them that are on here. One of them, Solomon. Solomon's name appears here. The Bible says, you can look it up, that Solomon disobeyed every commandment. He had, I think, 700 mistresses and 300 wives. Wow. And he enslaved all the people in the building of the temple. Rough guy here. Gets worse. There's a man named Manasseh. And how he's mentioned in the Bible is that he filled the whole city and the streets of Jerusalem with blood. He killed a lot of people. This listing of Jesus' relatives, my friends, is remarkable. What is going on? When you present the Savior of the world, you're supposed to present him with a great pedigree, with the best of relatives, with no blemishes on any of them. That's the way you do it. And you know what? Matthew could have done that. He had pristine relatives, Sarah, any of the matriarchs, Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, they have pristine records in Genesis. They are not listed. This is very odd. You know, when Alicia and I, we were putting together our list for our wedding, you know, there are some relatives that you just have to invite to your wedding when you're putting together that list. But then there are those difficult relatives. What do you do with them? Well, there's that one relative, that uncle that just blurts out everything. Well, we put him in the corner so that no one else sees him or gets to know him. And then there's the aunt that just gossips a lot. Well, put her in the other corner so no one else can engage with her. Those who are socially gracious, put them in the middle so everyone can get to know them and highlight them and a good mix of people. Isolate everyone else. That's the way it works. That's not the way it works in Matthew's gospel. Matthew lists Rehoboam. Tamar does not say anything about Sarah, Rachel, or the others, the other matriarchs. This is remarkable. Why is it? Well, in Matthew 1:21, he gives the answer. It says this, "She will bear a son, and his name will be Jesus, and he will save his people from their sin." What people? Tamar, the prostitute. Rahab, the woman of the night. Rehoboam, the one who split the two kingdoms. You and me as well. And also that uncle that blurts out things that we're so embarrassed to invite everyone else. Jesus highlights us, highlights the relatives that are the worst and gives them his grace. So what can we do in response? We lower our expectations of our relatives. What I mean by that is this. We don't have the big list of assumptions on how they should serve us. Instead, we rip up those lists and we give forgiveness and grace to them and bring health into our families. We make lists all the time. Lists for those who will be on the team. Lists about who we're going to give a Christmas card to. Lists for who we're going to buy presents for, lists for all sorts of things. Is there someone on your list this Christmas in your family that you haven't included? Is there someone you cross paths with and you hold conflict with them? Is there someone that you consider an enemy in your family? Is there someone you are absolutely embarrassed to be around or introduced to others? If they're not on your list this year, consider to put them on your list and extend the grace which Jesus Christ first extended you. Amen. Dear Jesus, we thank you for your genealogy. It's something we don't think about all that often, but it includes people that had great difficulty in life. But it's help us to learn the lesson tonight, that it's about your grace. Help us to extend that grace to those that are in our families that we have trouble with. Lord, I pray for every heart here, that if there is someone in their family that they're at odds with, that you would build that bridge through your grace and bring it together this year. In Jesus' name, amen.